Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Well, good morning again. Glad to have you here. Yes, you don't have to adjust your television. It is me up here. And for the first time, yes, so nerves will be a factor, but hey, well, I got to do it sometime, right? We were just at a conference not too long ago, and they talked about the metaphor of using someone who's in football. A person who has to earn their game jersey by getting a little blood on their practice jersey. So here I am today. That being said, can you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14? And today we're going to examine why we need to be comforted with our troubled hearts. John, chapter 14, we're going to go verse 1 through 11. By the way, Dave, I didn't see you on Friday. I was there with the jail ministry, too. I didn't see you. Oh, wait, no, I had the youth on Friday night. That's right. That's right. We had our all-nighter, so yes, that was another thing that played a factor as well. I had an all-nighter, and then I was supposed to preach Sunday morning. I'm like, hey, wonderful. All right. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. May God bring blessing to his word. In order to understand the conversation here in chapter 14, we need to refer back to chapter 13. The disciples of Jesus had good reason to be troubled, because as they rested at the table for the Last Supper, Jesus spoke of some troubling things. One, there was a traitor in their midst, in chapter 13, verse 21. And two, Jesus was leaving them, and they could not follow him, chapter 13, verse 33 and 36. Jesus had basically told the disciples that Peter was going to deny him. And not only that, they were not going to survive the night without him, giving the disciples ample reason to feel troubled. Jesus could see in their faces the confusion, the hurt, the trouble, the frustration, and even the bewilderment. Their whole world was crashing down upon them. Many like us, we feel that way sometimes. We feel the weight of the world just pressing upon us, and we're just not sure what we're going to do without help, right? You know, there are times Hannah and I will have to go somewhere, and Cooper will try to tag along with us and run out the door with us. Well, we have to stop him and say, Cooper, you cannot go with us. Where we're going, you cannot go. And you should just see the look on his face when we tell him this. He doesn't understand it. He's like, well, why can't I go? Just like Jesus told the disciples, where I go, you cannot go. But after explanation to him and letting him know that we will be back, he gets a sense of, okay, So when you come back, you'll play with me, right? Yes, of course. I wonder if this is what some of us feel like when we examine our relationship to Christ. We often look for comfort in a world that doesn't offer it. To get a sense of what the trouble looked and felt like here in the text, the Greek word for troubled here is taragmeni. It's a trouble that is great in measure, the kind of troubling that gets to the core of your soul. So this is a deep down trouble that we're talking about here. This isn't just a, oh, I got homework due tomorrow and I didn't do it, or, you know, that sort of sense. This is a deep trouble that just really envelops all of who you are. Here in John 14:1, we meet a heart problem. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is addressing a failure to trust God fully in the problems that we face. At first glance, it would appear that Jesus is addressing an anxiety that it's not even the one that we're even dealing with. Jesus, however, takes a surprising turn in this text, and we will explore that a little bit later on. Heart trouble is very common in today's society, is it not? No one is exempt from it. Nothing can keep that trouble away. This is due in part to internal and external forces that we face. It stems from what we love, from what we fear, because we know the journey of this life is full of trouble. Even the best of Christians have bitter moments between grace and glory. Even the holiest of the saints find the world that we live in to be a valley of tears. So how do we treat a troubled heart? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the only sure way to cure this. Amen? We must believe more thoroughly, and we must trust entirely. In essence, we have to let it all go. We have to give it all up, just as the disciples did to follow Christ. We have to be willing to give all of this up. No doubt the disciples that sat at the table for the Last Supper had believed in Jesus. They had proved their faith by giving up everything for Christ. Yet what does the Lord say to them? He presses them once more and says, believe. Believe more. Trust me. We must remember that there are degrees of faith here that we're discussing. There's a vast difference between weak and strong believers. One such example is that the stories of Gideon and Samson. God uses both the strong and the weak, folks. Just because we're not maybe preachers or pastors or teachers, God will use all of us to some degree. Amen? Here were men who were sent from one extreme to another. Gideon went from weakness to becoming strong. Samson went the complete opposite way. He went from strong to being weak. And a reference of that in Hebrews 11 talks a lot about that. The person with weak faith is enough to bring him to Christ and not be despised by him. But it will not give them the comfort as one with a strong faith. Weak believers do not see clearly what they believe and why they believe. The one thing they usually lack is more faith. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We explored that last week in Isaiah 26. That perfect peace to come upon us. That is what we need. That is what Christ has called for us to be. To find that perfect peace. To find that perfect balance in our Christian life. We need to be like Peter in the sense that we need to look more steadily upon Christ instead of the winds and waves that drag us down. The conversation in chapter 14 continues to flow as Christ prepares his disciples for the few days ahead. He comforts them by telling them he is leaving to go to his Father's house with plans of preparing a place for them and to come back again and to receive those who know him. So let's explore that. Heaven, in a word, is home. When I say the word home, what kind of ideas pop in your head? For me, relaxation, rest, peace. Home, or heaven, is the home of Christ and the Christians. This is something that is endearing for us. We think very dearly of our home. Home is usually a place where we generally feel loved, wanted. We are never forgotten, and certainly we are always welcome. As believers, we really are in a strange land, and thank God this is not our final home. Heaven is a place of many mansions. There will be room for all believers, all the weak and the strong. The feeblest child of God need not fear that there will not be a place for him. None will be shut out, all but unrepentant sinners and obstinate unbelievers. Christ himself will be present. He is not content to be without his people. Where I am, there you shall be also. We will not be alone, and we will not certainly be neglected. Our Redeemer shall dwell among us forever. Amen? Amen. What we shall see and whom we will see, we cannot fully understand as we're here in the flesh. We don't need to worry about it. You know, we constantly think, well, will I see so-and-so? Bible doesn't say specifically whether we will or not. But once we get out of this human brain of ours, it's not going to make any difference. So how do we begin to trust and not be troubled? Going back to chapter 14, you hear Jesus comforting his disciples and revealing himself to them with better clarity. What he was looking for from them was belief. He was looking for faith. This, as we know, is the opposite of our hearts being troubled. Christ was telling them and also for us to trust him. So again, we ask the question, how do we begin to trust and not be troubled? How do we overcome this turmoil that we face? Jesus mentions five things here. We need to explore these and for us to discover as to why we need not to be troubled. So number one, don't be troubled, but trust me, because my Father has many rooms in his house, and each of you will have one. In reference to verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Here's the picture. God's house is huge, okay? Huge. It has many rooms. And guess what? He's not running out of any room anytime soon. As it says at the end of verse 2, there is a place for you. There is a place for everyone. God has placed upon us to trust that this is so, and everyone that trusts him will have a place. You will have a place in his house, and you will dwell amongst him as his children. John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. So just like Peter and all of us other fragile saints here in this room today, don't let turmoil rise in our hearts. We must trust Jesus. We must trust God. Second, don't be troubled, but trust me, because I myself am going to make ready the place of dwelling with God. So Jesus twice here has said, I go to prepare a place for you. The question rises, if Jesus had to leave to prepare a place, was it not ready? Was it in need of improvement? Certainly not. Jesus was speaking here for the sin that had not yet been atoned for. Look at John 1:29 and 36. It speaks to the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God that needed to be slain. In other words, the wrath of God had not yet been satisfied. Galatians 3:13 speaks to the point that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Romans 8:3, he condemned sin in the flesh. Isaiah 53:10, he endured the bruising of the Father. And finally in John 10:18, death is yet to be defeated, and Jesus is about to give his life, but then take it back again from the jaws of death. In other words, every obstacle in our path to the Father's house was about to be removed. That's the picture I get when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing it not in the sense that it's defective, but that the way that it has not yet been prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It is a place which we shall find Christ himself has made ready for true Christians. He has prepared it by procuring a right for every sinner who believes to enter in. He has prepared it by going as our representative and taking possession of our sin. He has prepared the angels to receive us. Those of us who enter into heaven will find out that we're not unknown and that our arrival is not unexpected. Peter and the disciples, and of course you and I, do not need to be troubled that we are imperfect. We don't need to be troubled that we are deserving of God's wrath. We don't need to be worried that we are unworthy followers of Christ. Our sin does not mean that our place in God's household will be unavailable or unsuitable. Because Jesus this night, this day, goes to purchase our forgiveness and become the way to the Father. He makes our room not only available, but suitable and certain for his redeemed sheep. Amen? So let not our hearts be troubled. Let's trust him. But that is not all he means when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The third argument for why we should trust Jesus explains another meaning. There's a second sense in which things are not yet ready as Jesus speaks. So our third point, don't be troubled, but trust me, because I myself will be your dwelling, and I will get you there. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I think this is one of the most important phrases in this passage. I will take you to myself. This shifts the focus from a place to the person. Where Jesus is, there is heaven. What is the essence of heaven? Well, it's the immediate presence of Jesus. So when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, isn't the essence of what he is saying, I go this night through death for you? I go Easter Sunday morning out of death for you so that I myself might be your dwelling place. I am your room in my Father's house, and I am not yet prepared to receive you there. I must die. I must rise. I must be glorified. I must intercede for you. And when I have done that, then I will be ready. I will come and take you to myself. Christ will not wait for believers to come up to him, but he will come down to us to raise us from our graves and escort us to our heavenly home. As Joseph came to meet Jacob, so will Jesus come to call his people together and guide them to their inheritance. Great is us who look back to Christ coming the first time to suffer for us, but greater is the comfort of looking forward to Christ coming again the second time to raise and reward his followers. Amen. I believe Jesus confirms this in verses 4 through 6 of John chapter 14. "And you know the way where I am going," Thomas said to him. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus goes and prepares us a place. He then becomes the way which we get there. He is the truth we must hold on to get there. He is the life, the eternal life, that we will enjoy when we get there. So when he says, "I go to prepare a place for you," he means, "I open the way. I am the way. I confirm the truth. I am the truth. I purchase the life. I am the life." Now, we have to be careful because we can't use this passage of Scripture to show that when Jesus comes back at the second coming, he will take you to heaven. It doesn't say that. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And where will he be when he comes? We will meet him in the air, and we will establish his reign on the earth. And so we will be forever with the Lord. What this text focuses on the second coming is not a return to heaven, but a reunion with Christ. "I will come again and take you to myself. Therefore, my beloved disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Trust. Trust me that I am coming for you. I will come. I will take you. And trust me, because the dwelling I have prepared for you is my crucified, risen, and glorified self. Do not be troubled. I will come and take you to myself." Is there any comfort in this for us? Absolutely. You might feel at this point those comforts are wonderful, but they are so far away, at death or at the second coming. So what is causing the unholy turmoil in my soul right now? Is it that I don't know what's best for my children? Or can it be that my marriage is fragile and unaffectionate? Is my health failing? Or I can't stand my job? Or am I so lonely? If Jesus doesn't want my heart troubled now, is there some encouragement for faith closer than the second coming? And the answer is a resounding yes. Here is where Jesus takes that surprising turn in the passage that I had mentioned earlier. Look at what Philip says in verse 8. Chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." He didn't say, "Show us the Father someday, when it's convenient for you. Show us someday." No, he wants to see him now. And if we do, that will be enough. That will be sufficient. It's the same word Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "My grace is sufficient for you." Show us the Father now, and that will satisfy our troubled heart. Is God near us now? Show us. And so the fourth argument that Jesus gives for trusting him is, do not be troubled, but trust me, because the very Father who has a place for you in his eternal presence is with you now. The emphasis of verses 7 through 11 is crystal clear here. 6 times Jesus says virtually the same thing, that he and the Father are so profoundly one that his presence is the presence of God the Father. Look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Later, it says, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 9, in response to Philip's request to see the Father, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? And 11 concludes, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Therefore, Jesus asked Philip, is it enough? You asked me, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. I have showed you. He is here, as close to you as I am. Is it enough? Is it enough for you? But you may respond to Jesus, but you went away. You were there, and when you were there, God was there. And the Father was there in you, but now you're gone. Brings us to the last argument for why our hearts should not be troubled. And this time, he has all of us in mind specifically, not just the apostles. Don't be troubled, but trust me, because I will be with you always, not just at my return. How can that be? He has left. He is in heaven with the Father, interceding for us at God's right hand. To see this argument, we need to drop down just a little bit further, five verses after this text, in verses 16 through 18. You can turn there now. Verses 16 through 18. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you. I will come to you. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, came, Jesus came. And when it says at the end of verse 17, he dwells with you and will be in you, he means, I am with you now physically, and I will be with you spiritually when the Spirit comes. And this is why Paul talks the way he does about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ and Christ himself. Listen to these amazing words from Romans 8, 9, and 10. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That Spirit of God dwells among you. That is the Spirit of Christ. That is Christ. This is not the second coming, as glorious as that will be. This is now. This is now, folks. We need to get right now. He has gone away physically precisely so that he can be near to all of his own, not just the 11. He has not left you as orphans. He has come to you. He is right now more interested and more caring about your parenting, your marriage, your singleness, your failing health, your job, and your loneliness than you can ever imagine. He did not come to us as an observer. He came to us as a helper. So therefore, you who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, let not your heart be troubled, because there's a place for you in my Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus prepared the place for you. He opened the way, and he is the way. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus himself is your dwelling place, and he will come to take you to himself. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus and the Father are one. So that if you have Jesus, you have the Father. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus has come in the Holy Spirit. He is with you now, and he will be with you always. Not just as an observer, but as your helper. Do you have that belief? Do you have that faith? Has Christ prepared that place for you? I believe he has. And do you desire to have that everlasting love and promise that God has given to all those who believe? If you don't have that relationship with God today, I pray that today is the day that you will trust in him, that you will believe in him. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are often troubled because we lose sight of your promises. We engage ourselves in things that separate us from you and those promises. Lord, we pray today and we pray right now that we shift our focus back on you. You have implored us to believe, to have the faith, to fully trust in you. Many of us are grieving in our hearts right now for many different reasons. I pray now that, Father, you bring that calm to their heart. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And as we leave the house today, be with us and remind us that you have prepared something greater than we could ever imagine. We give you this day, and it's in your holy, precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Is the Lord tugging at your heart today? Is there a decision that needs to be made? I'm going to ask that the deacons and the deacons' wives come up front here. If there's an issue that you have and you need to pray, come and pray. The altar is open. Maybe you're an individual here that needs to make a decision for Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're a couple or an individual that is looking for a new church family. We ask that you come as well. Come to the Lord this morning. David, lead us.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.